to me. And it was a joke. All that was a joke.
You've been so controlled today. And yet, in that brief moment, you got very emotional. Why?
It's really something to see constantly how many people are dying for lack of an encouraging word. Mm. And how easy it is to provide that if you're careful. You know, give credit where credit is due. And to say, you're a net force for good if you want to be.
There are many things in American society that we're demonized about when it comes to politics, when it comes to your sexual preference, being free with expression of views and thoughts that are contrasting, that could be insensitive. I think those are, obviously I talked about porn before. I talked about, I'm trying to think of what else that people truly demonize. You know, the way you dress sometimes. Like, the people really get up in arms about the way you dress. It's like I always tell my guy friends, it's like, dude, what are you, gay? What are you, gay? Like, the only people I've ever known that care about what you wear are women and gay men. Like, there was never another gay man unless it was like in middle school. But that whole notion has gone away. I mean, especially living here in Florida, it's like one of those things that you just wear flip flops, you wear a shirt, as long as it ain't dirty and as long as you don't smell like shit, you should be okay. But the one thing that I always marvel at with people that I know, people that I have conversations with, is how it is demonized to be alone, to be by yourself, to enjoy isolation, to enjoy being on your own. And somehow you're stigmatized as not being good enough to be part of our circles, to be good enough to be part of our whatever it is, because you're not with somebody, so therefore there's something wrong with you. It's really fascinating. And I'm not saying that to you folks that don't think that way, but trust me, there's many people out there in those circles. And especially as a single dad to a daughter, that was always something that I felt. Because automatically when people see you and they say, okay, why isn't this guy with somebody? Why isn't this guy dating somebody, right? And I'm not, I have a spectrum of thoughts that are different than many others. Here they are. And many times people, when they hear those, they're like, that's not for me. Here you go in the friend zone. And that happens over and over and over again. And it's no problem with me because I understand that my truth and conveying that truth is something that is not for everyone. And that's something that you accept because ultimately, you know, that's the reality. But when people like myself are demonized for being lonesome and isolated, that's not a helpful comment, because not that I need it, because I'm totally fine, but I feel that for many people out there that can't find their perfect match, they can't find the soulmate, they can't find their ideal connection, and you're reminding them of that. You're reminding them of that. Their status and their happiness is going to be better if they are with somebody, if they're partnered up. You can, and there are studies out there to show that. But then my question goes, then what do you tell to the Catholic religion, all those nuns and priests? And what do you tell to the Buddhist community that are monks and are not intimate in any way, shape, or form, and don't have any companionship? As far as from a dating perspective, as far as from a relationship perspective. And that's the problem that I have, is that people, instead of asking me, why am I not single or why am I single? They need to ask me, are you happy? And I can truly say that and take a lot of detective tests. As a matter of fact, I feel that I can express that with a lot of detective tests and be okay, because my life is awesome. I mean, I went shopping just recently. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go even shopping. Middle of the day. Things like that. But it's like, it's just, I love being where I'm at in my element, just being in front of a mic, spewing out my thoughts, talking to myself, and doing my work, and, you know, doing all the other things I do. And then when Wednesday comes around, I go ahead and be dad and enjoy that and have a good time. So I guess when I'm always hearing that jargon of people, like I was hearing something about Olivia Wilde going at Jordan Peterson, and it was, she was saying that he was the king of incels. And incels, if you people don't know out there, is a term that's used for men that are unattractive, that they're unattractive either by the way they carry themselves, or they're not appealing to the women population, so therefore they're always alone, they're not dating, they're not. And I guess it was very fascinating because Jordan Peterson just mentioned something real quick and said, you know what, that lady that was calling me the king of incels, that lady left her husband to go marry a multi-million dollar prince. It's like hypergamy. Like, she's basically feeding the narrative that I talk about women, and not all women, because you ladies get all sensitive about it. Just like I know all men do, but there's women out there, and you all know that, that are not going to settle down unless you bring a certain criteria to the table, which I understand. Like, I fully understand that you have to be picky. I understand that you have to have a criteria that you feel fits with what you want, because if you're bearing children, or more deeper, if you're trying to feel secure, you want that man to exude those traits that make you feel safe, that make you feel that he's gonna be around if something happens to you. So I understand that point. But I think to just dismiss the other men as not being good enough, where these men just sometimes need a support group. You know, like I could have easily broken down on that as a young man. That's why Jordan Peterson always resonates with me deeply, because I grew up without a father in my formative years, when I needed a father, when I needed a male figure. And my mom was not there emotionally. Like, she was very neglectful in that sense. So I had to figure life out on my own. And, you know, I was very observant. I watched other people and I learned. And sometimes I misfired and sometimes I got it right. But that's what happens when you're on your own trying to figure life out. And for me, I mean, it could have been very easily. I could have let those moments of doubt and depression and sadness, let it get to me and spiral down a negative path of depression, of sadness, and all these things that these men that are falling into these positions don't have. So I, in a way, I empathize with the message of trying to get men to understand that, hey, listen, dude, if you're being a dork and women don't like you, you got to get your act together, okay? You got to, you know, straighten up, do these things, be responsible, and you got to make yourself more attractive to the women, because it's not about the looks with women. Luckily for us guys, it's not about the looks. It's not about, they don't care about what we look per se. Attraction is important, but if you have a bank account, and if you carry yourself in a manly way, that's going to attract women. And if you know how to talk to women, if you're charming, and if you, all these different things that women want to feel, then you're going to be in good shape. But for women to just shoot down the notion of men that never had that blueprint laid out to them, because women are very confusing in that way. And I'll go back to my experience of, when I was growing up, I would just hear women over and over and over again, like women my mom's age, just say how much they wanted a good man, how much they wanted to be with somebody that treated them right, someone that just respected them, someone that loved them and showed them all this affection, so on and so forth. And when I got into the dating pool, and I was doing exactly what I heard the older women want, but guess what? That didn't turn out to be good. It was the worst thing, because for girls at that time, they just didn't want to deal with a guy. They say that. And what I realize is that women that think that way, for the most part, are the ones that have been through the meat grinder of an ugly relationship, of an ugly marriage. And they, for whatever reason, they have to go through those lumps. I remember a friend of mine I used to talk to all the time. She would tell me, you know, women, we learn the hard way. we truly do learn the hard way when it comes to what we should have in life. That's why for my daughter, I always tell her, look, if the guy's nice, like truly genuine, and I tell her, you got to be friends first. Because when you build a bond of friendship, of truly caring for you as a friend, then you everything else is downhill. Because you're each other's friends, you support each other, you help each other, you keep each other in line. You're able to see that whatever episodes he or she has, they're still a loving and great person at the end of the day. So when you have that shift of somebody treating you with respect and love, and them just being there for you in all different facets and supporting you, supporting who you are as an individual, supporting your goals, then that's something that it's invaluable. That's what you want to experience in life. So I'm always reminding my daughter of that, because a lot of men get overlooked because of that, because of a red flag that reminds them of the past. So I always get disappointed. When I saw Jordan Peterson talk about this, they were asking him, like, are you the king of the incels? He's like, you know what? I am. And because I care about men that don't have guidance, that are just trying to find their way in life and want to feel loved. Yeah, I'll be that. And I really hit deep. You can tell he was crying. I'm like, man, I got emotional myself. I'm like, damn, like this motherfucker really cares. But I understand the message. You know, when I talk on these podcasts, I've always, these brain dumps I have, it's just always looking at, like, being able to see, gosh, like, women get all these passes about, you know, the way they're able to be, have double standards, and I'm saying, I guess that's an overcorrection because of what they've had to deal with for so many years. Maybe that's what it is, but I think that you're doing a disservice in these times when you're trying to dismiss the woman gender altogether. Like right now, I can identify myself as a woman. I can identify as a woman, even though biologically, that's not who I am. But I could identify as that, and people would have to accept that. It's nuts to me. Because, you know, we get into a very slippery slope of double standards, of very confusing things that if you're not very secure about where you're at, it can cause you to be all over the place. And I worry about that for my child. I worry about that for the little kids, that they're not able to identify how they want to identify because they're being demonized in this world, because they're being made to feel like they're inferior. And I do have a problem with that, because we all have the capability to be productive and to be contributing members of society. But if we're being kicked to the ground, and I'm not saying tough love isn't needed sometimes. You know, this is the way I do parenting. A little secret. I give supportive and encouraging love. I'm always positive. Rah, rah, rah. You can do it. You got this. But then after some point, when you see the person that's not reacting to your positivity, then you got to do a little tough love, because that's what the world is going to give you. So it's weird to me, in a world where we're asking people to be sensitive about the plight of women, about the plight of people of color, about people that are they have their heart set on loving somebody of the same gender, or expressing themselves in a way that it's not from a male or female perspective, that we don't have any sympathy for single men that are struggling to be noticed in society as viable dating candidates. And I'm not talking about the piece of shit that lives at home, that doesn't get his life together, and it's not trying to make any effort. I'm talking about the people that go to work, that are good people, don't hurt anybody, that are good to their neighbors, they do their part, but because they're not out there exuding these alpha traits that are attractive, they all of a sudden become less attractive. And for you ladies, it's like you're the gatekeepers, as you should be. But you can't disqualify or disvalue when there's a good man. Is it an exciting man? No. But it's kind of like a car. Is it a Corvette? Is it a Mustang? No. But it's a brand new car. It's a nice little Kia, like the one I drive. Nice little Kia. It gets you from point A to point B. There's no problems. You can learn to love it. Yeah, it's not a Corvette, but it works pretty fucking good. So I'll take that. And I'm not saying that you have to settle, of course. But I am pushing back on, I always will, is when men are made to feel that they have to conform to a woman's standards to an extreme where they're compromising who they are. And the women are, in a way, dismissing them. It's kind of like when, I'll leave with this. It's kind of like when I would be in the workplace and I wasn't interested or giving a woman the attention that she wanted. You know what the first thing she would do? She would just say, oh, he's gay. He's gay and he's stuck up. He doesn't. And when I used to hear that all the time, it used to blow me away. Because that's what women would do whenever they would not get the reaction from a guy that they wanted. Again, if you're a lady that doesn't react like this, that's you. But you know a friend, you know somebody, just like I know men that act the stupid ways that you ladies know of them being. I know those guys. But I don't jumble everybody, or I give everybody the benefit of the doubt when they meet me. I give them the benefit of the doubt. I give them rope. And you're either going to hang yourself or you're going to help yourself. You're going to hang yourself to falling into the stereotypes that I know, or you're going to help yourself and be the exception. And I wish ladies would, in that way, understand that when you're talking to men that maybe don't have the greatest social skills, maybe are not exuding those traits that you find alpha or protective or give you security or make you laugh, that it doesn't make them bad people, and we don't have to kick them down. Just like we don't want to kick down women, just like we don't want to kick down women as far as being able to do stuff physically. Yep, they could do it. They can make just as much money as men. We don't want to kick down people that are gay, right? We don't want to kick people of color. We don't want to kick people down, right, for their political affiliations. But here we are. We do it. We do it, and I don't think there's ever going to be a stoppage of it. But at the same time, I feel that we can be more aware of it. Because I think that when it comes to men, a lot of times we are made to feel like we have to deal with, I had someone talk to me about this recently, like, you know, they had their child and the parent was really hard on him. The dad, really hard on the boy. Really, really hard. Even though he's working his tail off, even though he's doing everything he could possibly do to make his mom and dad proud. He was like, no, I mean, that's not good enough. And that bothers me deep inside, because I know that feeling. Many of us know that feeling of trying to live a life that our parents can be proud of. And when they're never accepting of it and they're never wanting to tell you, wow, what an amazing job you've done, son. We're so proud of you. We're so lucky to have you here. We're so thankful that you are a gift, and I want you to have many more blessings. When you don't have that and you're getting kicked down in life, you don't want to feel that. Trust me, that's not a feeling. Luckily, I took that negativity and used it as fuel. I used it as a negative of anger, channeling my intense focus to succeed, to be able to say, fuck the world, fuck everybody, I'm gonna do this. If you help me, great. If you don't, then get the fuck out of the way. If you're a hater, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I'm going to stick a middle finger in your face after it's all said and done. Because if I would have done it the other way, guess what? I mean, who knows where I would have been?
Most men will only experience unconditional love from their mothers. And some of us don't even get that. Most of us have never even felt appreciation or respect without conditions or hidden intentions. Yet the expectation is to constantly be displaying the strength and love that the world is hesitant in conveying. We're expected to have a thick skin but get judged if it turns to a hard shell. The first step in being a man is ignoring the hunger. Cause yes, boy, you're gonna be starving. Starved of attention, starved of affirmation, starved of love, starved of being told that you are enough. Step two in being a man is comfortability with replaceability. You are only as good as you are useful. You are only as valuable as you are needed by others. Should there ever come a day, boy, where you fail to provide everybody with a smiling face, then do not be surprised when they say all men do is take up space.